Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. 1 Peter, back in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 21. Please stand at this time for the reading of the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 of 1 Peter chapter 2. If you have it, say agape. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Verse 21 says, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. This is the word of God. Represent. We've been talking about representing the kingdom of God, and this is part four of this four sermon series, Represent, and today is being more like Jesus. More like Jesus. You may be seated. Represent. You know, yesterday I was in the store. I was in one of the stores, local stores, and I saw a young lady, and my wife says, everywhere you go, you always looking to try to talk to somebody or speak to somebody, act like you know somebody. And I saw someone yesterday that reminded me of one of our members, and I was really looking intently, and I almost called out their name. But I was a little hesitant because I wasn't quite sure, but they really, really, really looked just like one of our members. As a matter of fact, Amira, they look just like you. She looked at me and said, oh, Pastor, why you call my name? She looked just like Amira, and I almost said, Amira, Amira, Amira. But it really wasn't Amira. But the point I would like to make is, when people look at us, do they say, is that Jesus? For those who name the name of Jesus Christ as personal Savior, and those of us that say we're Christians, do people look at us so much so that they say, oh, that looks like Jesus? Because at the end of the day, the goal for all of us as Christians is to look more like him. More like him. And God has called us to represent him on earth. And the goal is to be more and more and more like Jesus. And you know, this message has been pressing on my heart so much so, I believe this is probably one of the most important messages I've ever preached. Being more like Jesus. The people of God being more like Jesus. Now again, the context of the passage, these early Christians under the Emperor Nero were facing intense persecution by Nero during this time. And he was treating God's children in a very harsh way, burning them at the stake, throwing them in the lion's den. And they faced intense persecution. But Peter writes this letter to encourage them to endure. And we've been talking about submitting and understanding what God wants us to do, even in turbulent times. Now, previously in chapter 1, it was all about salvation. Those were the shouting passages, being chosen generation, a royal priesthood, God's own special people. You know, that's to declare the glory of him who saved us, who brought us from darkness into his marvelous light. Those are shouting messages. Amen. We can get excited about all of those things. But now we start talking about suffering. Now when we start talking about submitting, being more like Jesus, all the amen seem to just dry up when we start talking about suffering as a Christian. Now understand this. Midway through chapter 2, we began this series on representing. And the first thing that we said, if you look back in verse 11 and 12, basically in a nutshell, that we are to abstain from fleshly desires. Abstain from fleshly desires that war against the soul. If we're going to represent, we cannot allow our flesh to get out of control. Amen. Then we moved on to representing as being good law-abiding citizens. Law-abiding citizens, acknowledging President Donald Trump as our president. Okay, now, and I asked the congregation, I said, I need you all just to say his name as a good law-abiding citizen. I just asked the entire congregation, please acknowledge him, say President Donald Trump. Y'all, we've grown. We're maturing, we're growing. Y'all are getting it. I don't have to preach it again. Amen. That Sunday, it was so quiet in here. But representing even as good law-abiding citizens. And then last week, we talked about being good employees, representing the kingdom of God at work. At work, amen. Submitting to a good boss as well as the bad boss. Amen. And challenging. The congregation that as Christians, you ought to be nominated for Employee of the Month every now and then. Amen. You ought to have your own parking spot every now and then because you've been chosen Employee of the Month. But something is seriously wrong if they don't ever nominate you to be Employee of the Month as a Christian. As a matter of fact, one of the young adults, she didn't want me to call her out, but I'm going to go in and call her out anyway. She came and told me at the end of service, she said, Pastor, I won Employee of the Month this week. Ariel, amen. Ariel, just wave. Employee of the Month. And so understanding that we're to submit to good bosses and bad bosses, and all of that leads us up until this particular passage of Scripture. Because at the end of the day, we are to look more like Jesus. In the society in which we live as good law-abiding citizens, in our daily walk, even on the job. And there are a few things that I want to say as it relates to this, and I'm giving all T's this morning. T is I alphabet this morning. It's the letter that we'll use this morning. If we're going to be more like Jesus, here it is, number one. If we're going to be more like Jesus, number one, we must trace and track his steps. We must trace and track his steps. Say trace. And track his steps. Look at verse 21. It says, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Following his steps. If we're going to be more like Jesus, we need to trace and track his steps. Now, Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of what suffering is. Ultimate example. And if we want to be more like him, we have to follow in his steps. The Bible says that he suffered for you. He suffered for me. And if Jesus was willing to suffer for you and I, what about us suffering for him? Now understand this. Jesus Christ never committed any sins. Perfect. He was perfect. And yet he suffered for us, leaving us an example. That word example, y'all remember when we were learning the alphabet, and if you wanted to learn how to write an A, they give you the A in black bold print, then you take your paper and place it over the A, and then you would actually begin drawing to learn how to write the alphabet. That's what it means. That's what this word example means, that we are to trace his steps. We are to trace Jesus' steps. And now, understand this. Now, again, Christians don't like talking about this. As a matter of fact, the disciples had a hard time with Jesus. Every now and then, Jesus would perform a miracle. They get excited about things, and they see the move of God. But then when Jesus began talking about suffering on the cross, they struggled. But listen, following Jesus, we just may end up on a cross. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Now, I'm speaking spiritually. You may not end up on a cross like he was, or you may end up on a cross like he was, but I'm speaking spiritually. There will come time when we will suffer. But here it is. Look, Matthew 16, 24, 25 says it like this. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, anyone wishes to follow me, let him deny himself. There it is, right? Let me just stop right there. That's part of the problem why we really can't follow Christ and suffer like Jesus. It's the self-denial issue. See, when we follow Jesus Christ, self has to go. It's no longer about me, it's about him. It's about him. That's part of the issue why we can't be more like Jesus, because there's not enough self-denial. People are caught up in themselves. But he says, if any man's desire to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. Shall find it. If you want to be like Jesus, if you want to be like Jesus, you got to give up self. Give up self. Take up your cross, whatever that may be. Listen, Coptic Christians in Egypt, have been under intense persecution. Talking about being more like Jesus. On Resurrection Sunday, in the middle of worship, a bomb exploded and Christians were killed. Just the other day on a Christian trip, these terrorists in the middle of the desert overtakes the bus with gunfire. Men, women, and children are killed. Christians just going on a regular Christian trip, and they face intense persecution. And all these Christian Coptic Christians in Israel, in Egypt, it's over 9 million. And you know what? Every day they wake up wondering if this is their day. But you know what? They keep serving him. They're willing to die. They're willing to give up. They've given up their lives for the Savior. They're willing to suffer. And here we are talking about being more like Jesus. And somebody say something wrong to us. And we act like we don't know him. And if we want to be more like Jesus, we got to be willing to suffer. Jesus Christ is our example. He is our example to follow. Hebrews 12, 2 and 4 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3 says, for consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. You know, a lot of folks say, well, you know what? I ain't Jesus. A lot of folks say, look, I ain't Jesus. And you know what? You're right. You're not Jesus. But that doesn't change the standard. He is still the standard. You know, WWJD, what would Jesus do? He suffered. Which moves me right to my next point, number two. We've got to learn to take some things without talking. Talking about being more like Jesus. We've got to learn to take some things without talking. Say take without talking. Verse 22, 23 says, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats. Nothing. Now listen again. Jesus did not deserve to suffer. Are y'all with me this morning? He never did anything wrong. He was sinless. He was perfect. Jesus was perfect. You aren't perfect. I am not perfect. So as we go through, we've got to remember that, look, if he suffered and he was perfect, who am I to think that I won't suffer and I'm imperfect? We've got to understand this. But Jesus took all of this and never said a word. He never said a word. He took it without talking. Let me show y'all what I'm talking about. Hebrews 4:15 says, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So people are always quick to say, Jesus, Lord, don't understand. God was never in my, he's never been in my shoes. Stop that. Jesus Christ went through everything and then some that you and I go through. Well, somebody said, well, he wasn't married. Y'all just caught that. Yes, he was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's the bridegroom of the church, which is the bride of Christ. Don't get me started on how his bride acts. Don't even get me started on that's a whole nother sermon. But he understands everything that you and I go through. And yet he did not sin. He remained silent. Let me show y'all what I'm talking about. In Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 27, I want y'all to get a picture of this. Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 12, it says, and while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he made no answer. Not a word. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? And he did not answer him with regard to even a single charge, so that the governor was quite amazed. Now, understand, no answer. Now, here they are falsely accusing him, and Jesus didn't say a word. He took it without talking. But then I'm going to take you a little bit further. The soldiers of the governor, they took Jesus into the praetorium, and then they gathered the whole Roman cohort against him. Look what they did. They stripped him. Tell the story. I'm going to tell you, so I couldn't put it up there. There's too many scriptures. But they stripped him. Then they put a scarlet robe on him, and they began mocking him as a king. They put a scarlet robe on him. Look, then they weave together a crown of thorns, and then they place it on his head. He didn't say a word. They put a reed in his right hand, mocking him. Can you picture? I want you to picture this. They put a reed in his hand, mocking him as a king. And then they kneeled down before him. Picture that. Kneeled down before him, mocking him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. And then they spat on him. They spat on him. Then they took the reed out of his hand and began beating him with the reed. And he didn't say a word. He took it. After they mocked him, they took his robe off of him and then put on his own garments. Then they led him away to be crucified. Once they put him on the cross, they put him between two thieves, symbolizing him as the worst of the criminals by being in the middle. And then it says that those passed by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads, shaking their heads. Savior? King of Israel? I don't think so. Wagging their heads. And then they began saying, you who destroyed a temple in 3 days, you who destroyed and rebuilt it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. If you're the Son of God. In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him. He saved others. Now he can't save himself. And Jesus took it. Without saying a word. If he's the king of Israel, let him come down. He took it. He trusts God. Why not God deliver him in the God that he trusts? If he's the Son of God. And on top of this, the robbers, the thieves on the cross with him, begin doing the same thing, saying the same things as Jesus is hanging on the cross. And yet, he uttered not a word. Not a word. Not a word. He took it. And if ever a time, Jesus could have spoke and wiped everybody out, he could have spoke. He wouldn't even have to speak. And he could have wiped everybody out. And yet, not a word. Now, come on. Imagine if you had the power that he had. I'm coming down the aisle. Imagine if you had the power that he had. And you were being treated like he was being treated. You had the power. You had the power. And you were being treated like he was treated. Would you take it?
We get upset. We get upset. We get upset if somebody say our name wrong. We get upset when someone does something behind our back. We got to speak our mind. I'm going to let them hear it. We want to be more like him? Do we really want to be more like Jesus? We got to learn to take it without talking. Take it without talking. At home, husbands, take it without talking. Wives, take it without talking. At work, take it without talking. If we want to be more like Jesus. Now next week I'm dealing, if you look at chapter 3, you can get a preview of what's coming next week, dealing with husbands and wives. But learn to take it without talking. If we want to be more like Jesus. And when he uttered no words, and y'all know we quick with our tongues. Quick. He was sinless and didn't speak. Thirdly, we must trust and turn everything over to the Father. We must trust and turn everything over to the Father. Say trust and turn everything over to the Father. Look, verse 23, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges rightly. He kept entrusting. The word entrust means handing over the authority. Handing it over, forfeiting your own way and saying, here, God, I give this situation to you. He kept entrusting everything to the Father. And listen, if we're going to be more like Jesus, we've got to learn to trust God and turn everything over to God. Turn everything over to God. John 12:27-28. This is Jesus. He says, now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Listen, if we want to be more like Jesus, when tough times come, we better learn to trust God. Oh, you better learn to trust God. When you suffer, you got to see what God is up to. And here it is. He says, for this very hour I have come. Father, glorify yourself. Glorify yourself. Here it is. When you are suffering, when we suffer, the question that you and I have to come to grips with is, God, how can I bring you glory in the midst of my suffering? That's where we've got to get. We've got to get to that place to where we're saying, God, you know what? It's not even about me. Oh, it's not even about me. God, how can you get glory while I'm going through what I'm going through? Instead of throwing yourself a pity party, can I tell you something? You ought to take it to another level. You ought to be like Job and say, God, thank you that you saw me fit to go through what I'm going through because you want to get glory in my life. This is what it means to be more like Jesus. Yeah, instead of complaining, say, God, thank you. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. And listen, he said he kept entrusting himself. It's a continual deal. You got to keep trusting God. You can't trust in the day and then tomorrow forget about it. It's a continual thing. We've got to keep entrusting him even while we're going through. Jesus was in the Father's will all the way to the cross. All the way to the cross. And now when you get to the Garden of Gethsemane, think about what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. He told his disciples, come and pray with me. Come and pray with me. Look, Matthew 26. He said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as thou wilt. He went away a second time and third time, and he did the same thing a second and third time. And he begged his disciples. As a matter of fact, he had already told his disciples that they were going to stumble that night. They would all forsake him that night. He already told them that. And now he's trying to encourage them to at least come pray with me. There's a possibility that if you pray, if you entrust the Father, you may be able to overcome this thing. But you know what? They went to sleep. And you read the rest of the passage. Every one of them left him. Every one of them, as a matter of fact, Peter, operating in the flesh, pulled his sword out and tried to cut off the man's head. Caught his ear because the man ducked. But Peter was operating in the flesh. Operating in the flesh. Jesus says, not my will. Thy will. God, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? You know what? I wonder. Listen. I wonder, do we as Christians, do you really believe Romans 8:28 that says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, those have been called according to his purpose. You know, we quote that, but can you remember that scripture when you suffer it? That all things still means all things. You know, we have the word of God. But do we really believe that when we're suffering, when you're going through, can you stop and say, you know what, God, this has got to work out for my good. This is going to work out for my good. I don't care what it is. Doesn't matter what it is. God is working in our favor. Listen, to those who love him and have been called according to his purpose, you can't leave that out. Can't leave that out. We're always talking about, you, man, it's all good. Wait. If you don't know Jesus, it's not all good. Oh, it's not all good at all if you don't know Jesus. But those of us that have said yes to Jesus Christ and he is our Lord, all things work together for my good. And all I've got to do is trust God in the process. Just got to trust God in the process. Get me out the way. Get me out of the way and allow God. Trust God. And listen, God will vindicate in his own time. Are y'all with me this morning? Listen, Jesus entrusted himself. He kept entrusting himself to the Father. And look, to him who judges rightly is what the text says, him who judges rightly, knowing that God will vindicate us. Listen, God will reward us when we remain faithful while suffering. God will reward you if you remain faithful while suffering. All you got to do is hang in there. Hang in there, hang in there, hang in there. I know it gets hard sometimes. I know it gets tough sometimes. But hang in there if you want to be more like Jesus. Because you know what the Bible says in Philippians 2? Therefore, God highly exalted him, gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. Even those that have denied him, they still have to bow. And you can bow now or you can bow later. But every knee is going to bow because God highly exalted him. Highly exalted him. And so understand that God who judges righteously, he sees everything. He sees it all. And God will vindicate in his own time. Listen, the Bible says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. You don't have to get back at him. Give him to God. Give him to God. God know how to get folk better than you ever could get them. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God can get them. But you got to trust him. Let it go. It's not our business. It's not up to us. God will take care of all that. He judges righteously. He'll take care. He's going to make the crooked straight. He's going to make the crooked straight. So we've got to trust him. Turn everything over to him. Finally, number four, think about how other lives can be transformed. If you want to be more like Jesus, think about how other lives can be transformed. Verses 24 and 25, look, and he himself bore our sins in his body, our sins on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually strained like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your soul. Think about how other lives can be transformed. You know, Jesus was able to endure and suffer all that he did because he had us on his mind. It was about us. It was about us. It was about you and me. Others on his mind. You know, John 12:32, he says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And listen, when we're going through, we got to lift Jesus up. You know, millions, 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 millions have come to Jesus Christ because he bore our sins on the cross. He did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Ephesians 5:2 says, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. Look, he loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us. a pleasing aroma to God. Agape love. You don't know love until you know Jesus. You really don't know love until you know Jesus. When you really experience the love of Jesus Christ and you know what the love of Jesus Christ really, really, really means, then you will begin to understand what real love is. People throw the word out all the time. I love you. I love you. Well, if you love me when I mess up, will you still love me? If you really love me? So we're not perfect. We make mistakes. But love, Christ-like love, Christ-like love endures. Christ-like love is other-centered. It's not self-centered. It's other-centered. And that's what agape love. And we've been healed spiritually. We have been healed spiritually because Jesus thought about us. We've been saved. We've been forgiven. We've been made right before God because of what Jesus did for us. Because of what he did for us. And you know what I love about it? He, on the cross, dying for the sins of the world, people wagging their head at him, being accused, falsely accused, on a cross for something he did not do. Something he remained silent. But the very people that was crucifying him, he turns and says, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's thinking about others. And when you're being persecuted, when you are suffering, you got to have the mind of Christ. Paul says in Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We've got to have the mind of Christ and think about others. How can I help this person become more like Jesus while I'm being attacked? That's a strange love. That's a strange love. And as Christians, we talk about being more like Jesus. We talk about being more like Jesus. I think we fall short in so many ways. I really do. I believe we fall short in so many ways. There is no love like the love of Jesus Christ. There is no love like the love of Jesus Christ. And you say you love someone, then you're willing. He bore our sins. He took the wrong. It was placed on him. By his stripes, we're healed. Who will be healed by your stripes? Talking about being like him. Being like him. People of God. People of God, people of God. The world in which we live is an evil world. It's getting worse and worse and worse. The love of many is growing cold. But we, the people of God, we need to be more like him. Our lights ought to be shining brighter now than ever before. Ever before. In our daily walk, we should become more and more like Jesus. You know, the Apostle Paul in Romans 9, Paul said this in Romans 9, and it's amazing. Paul said, I'd rather be accursed, separated from Jesus, so that my kinsmen would know Jesus and be saved. This is what Paul said. I'd rather be accursed. And as the people of God, whatever I can do to make the next person better, whatever I can do to make my brother better, to make my sister better, I'm willing to sacrifice it. I'm willing to sacrifice it. Especially when I see the potential in so many God's people. I see people that are struggling. It says like sheep, you keep straying. You know, God was so patient with us. Well, I don't know about you, but with me. God was so patient with me. I just kept straying. Just kept doing my own thing. You know what happened to sheep? If they continue to stray, they'll be cut off. They'll be cut off. But as a good shepherd, he kept hunting me down. Kept coming after me. Kept coming after me. And I believe with everything in me, if we're going to be more like Jesus, we have to have the same mentality. None of us are perfect. We all miss the mark. We got to keep coming after each other. Got to keep loving each other. No one is beyond the love of God. No one. But beloved of God, I want to be so much more like him. I want you all to be so much more like him. The world needs to know that. You know, our lives will begin to be so much better. Our lives will be so much better, if we just pursue to be more like Jesus. Just pursue to be more like Jesus. Can't go wrong. Can't go wrong. It's enough talking about him. We need to represent him and be more like him. Amen.